with anybody who would like to be supportive of this cause that supports life and supports people as they go through, for some, the very traumatic spot in their life they didn't know they'd be in at that time. And so for that, get the brochure. There's a variety of ways you can support. They'll have it on there, and they would love to hear from you. They're constantly expanding their services. They now have a medical component to do wellness checks for expectant moms, to do pregnancy tests, to do screening. And this all just provides them more opportunities to speak with and share with women who are going through a time in their life they may not have thought they would have at that moment. Anyway, so we're on a series. We're on a series on 10 steps how to grow a healthy family. And so I'm going to do a little pop quiz. Are you ready? The kids pastor in me. What was the first commandment? Second commandment. Somebody loud. Nope. Nope. No idols. Okay, I'm going in the NIV, Exodus chapter 20. If you want to have a start on that. No graven images. Number three. Don't what? Don't kill. That's a little further on. That's number four. Don't use God's name in vain. Be careful how you talk about God. Be careful how you represent Jesus in you to others. So we're asking you to be careful with that. This week, we're going to do a little bit of a trajectory twist, because I think as we know and we hang on to it and we claim it and we say it, God, the Ten Commandments, that's the foundation of our legal system. But if any of us, I don't know if there's any lawyers in here, and I'm not a lawyer, any of us were to look at the legal systems today, we'd be hard-pressed to find some of this exact wording in some of our legal scenarios, because there's always a loophole. There's always a place where someone will twist it. There's always degrees of, well, they didn't mean to fully kill that person. They only partially meant to kill that person. So therefore, it's not as bad as the first time. I'm just like, you still have a person who's not alive. Like, how do you, I can't balance that when I come back to the Ten Commandments. Now, of the first four commandments, these are all commandments, conversations, times for us to reflect on what our personal relationship is with God. When he's asking us not to have any other gods but him, that's a one-on-one scenario. That's where we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's where we sit down and say, God, what are you doing for me at this time? What can I do for you? And then number two is no more idols or images. For me, I see that as, God, you don't want any distractions in my life that keep me from seeing you or knowing you in every facet of my life. Number three, to not use God's name in vain. The kid teacher in me is, watch your language. Watch your words. Watch how you use your words to represent Jesus in you. I think that's important. I think it's important because when we're watching our language, we're watching not only what we should say, but we also need to watch what we shouldn't say. Gossip, slander, talking ill of someone. Maybe we are frustrated, maybe we are angry. But scripture even says then, don't go to bed angry. And let God work through you in whatever your thoughts or language may be. And then last week, Pastor spoke on Sabbath rest. Taking that space and that time when he gives you that moment. And for some, it's our morning devotion. Some, it's his evening devotion. Some, it's the devotions in the car on the way to work, because life at home is a little crazy in the morning. And for me, when our kids were younger, I worked 45 minutes to an hour away, depending on the snow conditions of the roads. And so it'd be like, okay, everybody's dressed, they're fed, they're ready to go to school, I'm in the car. I could turn on the Christian radio, I could put in a teaching tape, cassettes back then, and just let God speak. I'd like to say I could tell you how many times I actually pulled over because a song came on in the contemporary radio station and it just made me sob. I think one of the first ones I remember is I Can Only Imagine. I can tell you exactly the snowbank, what color the slush was on the side of the road. I have all of these details in my mind because that was a moment God spoke to me and said, if Jesus were to stand in front of you right now, would you bow down? Would you dance? Would you sing for him only? And those are etched in my life. So when I look at spots of Sabbath rest, I also include those places where God has done something so intentional to stop me in my tracks to hear him. So the first four are about God working in us individually. Because we each have to come to terms with each of these things in our own life. We get to decide what kind of language we're going to use. We get to decide what kind of things we're going to let distract us or not distract us. We get to decide that we want to serve God or other things. But when you're walking with Jesus, he will show you in his compassionate and loving way, and sometimes by circumstances as only he can orchestrate, that he wants our attention on something. So now we come to commandment number 5, Exodus 20, verse 12. And I have previously, just so you know, media guys are not slow. I have not given them enough time. That's just, I've already talked with them that I'm pretty good at doing it this way. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God has given you. This is the first commandment, and it influences the rest of the commandments that talk about relational, intentional, functioning together in a design that God has for us all. And it's absolutely fascinating and thrilling to me that he starts with the family, that he speaks to husbands and wives, parents, kids, that the relationship is to look like one where we are honoring each other. This is a foundation that will continue and does carry on, and I'll bring it around at the end of it, but it also speaks towards how we develop relationships in our culture, in our society, in our businesses, in our schools, in our extended family, in our whatever. This foundation of honor is the first foundation of relationships outside of our relationship with God, because God is now giving us instruction on what to be for each other. Interestingly, and I don't, all the littles are downstairs, but I got some teen biggers type of deal. Interestingly, this is not a verse or passage that first speaks to all the little kiddos, you better listen to mom and dad or else. I'm sure if my kids were to challenge me on this, they would have a memory or two of, you need to honor me so that you can live long. You know, I'm sure most of us have had that. I got one thumbs up in the back here. My youngest little is here. And it's not meant to be something that we cludgeon or bludgeon our family with. It's not meant to be a tool of despair. It's not meant to be a tool of anger. It's not meant to be a tool of, oh well, whatever. God has instructions in what this honor is supposed to look like. And the wonderful part of this is Moses in Exodus chapter 20, and that's where we're going to be for a little bit between there and Ephesians 6. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor is spoken about and asked for by God, that we're respecting each other, that we love and we value each other, that we submit to authority, that we accept instruction and discipline. And in the process of doing this in a loving family, a family that is fully intentional on serving God, that this becomes the guideposts that we make parenting, family, parent-kid relationships or mentoring relationships in, that they're guideposts. We kind of bounce around in these four or five words. I would love to say that I did this so well. I think like anybody and everybody else in the room, we all have our moments. We all have those issues. We all have those memories where this didn't land well, where we didn't land well on this. Who remembers the phrase, you need to do it because I said so? Who remembers being challenged by that one? How about your two-year-old that, no, I go do my own thing. Your six-year-old, no, mommy, I want that instead. Or who knew that they could lie so bold-faced at that young of an age and tell you, I didn't do that. Well, who broke? I didn't break it. Not me. And meantime, there's glass shards on their feet or something. It's kind of, let's try that again. Or the teenager, I'm getting older now. I don't need to listen to you. What about the young adult that says, ah, mom and dad are fuddy-duddies. I'm on my own life now. What about the young family with their own little kids and then their parents are, I don't know if I have time. How am I going to fit that in and take care of them and be this and be that and all of these things? And yet, Exodus commands, God in the book of Exodus, given to Moses on Mount Sinai, the tablets that have two tablets, or that's our Hollywood depiction of it. There are the Ten Commandments. They're not what ifs. They're not if you feel like it's. They're not a, well, if you have time. They're not a, well, only do this if the circumstances are favorable to you. They are commandments from God. And Moses delivered all of these commandments to the whole assembly of Israel. He didn't wait for kids' church. He didn't wait for teen class. He didn't wait for young adults' coffee session. He didn't wait for adult small group sessions. It was brought to the whole assembly of Israel at the same time for them to use as a core value for how they were to continue to build their lives as a nation. Who's heard the phrase, as the family goes, so goes the nation? The other feature of this is in our homes, in our jobs. Is that we spend maybe more time listening than talking. That we spend some more time sorting out what the issue is versus the immediate reaction. Now, mind you, in some cases, you know, two-year-old trying to reach the stove, I'm going to react immediately as best I can. When my 14-year-old oldest son decided to sass me that I couldn't catch him, I don't know why there was a softball on the floor beside my chair, because he blatantly said, Mom, I can run faster than you and you'll never catch me. I said, brother, young man, I can throw quite well. And so I lobbed the softball and he's running down the hall laughing, joking, right? He was making this a big joke and I clipped him on the ankle. He went down. You meant it. I go, I didn't throw it hard. I just... A lob. Maybe it was a hardball. I don't know. I know we all have our own ways of processing in our families. I know we have our own ways of developing a respect situation. I know we have all of that. The day one of your kids says, "You're that man you married," to me, I'm like, "That man I married? Ooh, that's your father." "Oh, I'm so annoyed." I'm like, "You're allowed to be annoyed. You're not allowed to be disrespectful." I said, "Well, no, maybe you need to go and sort out your room and find out where your respect for your parent is in your closet, because apparently you're not carrying it with you today." And they're like, "Oh." Came out, talked about the issue, we sorted it out. There's just boundaries we all will have. And that's okay. Because that's what love and value and respect and discipline and teaching, those are the posts. We measure how we develop the relationships in our family. They become the measure of how much honor is brought into the relationship. And honestly, each of us has that opportunity. Each of us actually not only has the opportunity, the verse here says, honor your father and mother. Honor your relationships. It's not just a what if, it is a command. And it is a command that has a promise attached to it. So this is where it becomes the ongoing. Your personal walk with Jesus, you're constantly growing. We've heard with candor even this morning from worship leaders. I am going to say if we had donuts out in the hallway, we could bet a dollar to a donut, somebody today has had that moment of, ugh, kids, ugh, parents, now what do we do? And it's an auspicious day. Like my daughter actually called me this morning. It was 3 hours ahead on her time. And she's like, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom." She says, "I was cleaning my basement." Nice second sentence, right? "I was cleaning my basement. And I found the bucket of stuff that you guys have left here for whenever you come to visit us." And it's mostly winter clothes, but you know, she can have those. And she says, "But I found something I will bring with when she comes in the fall. They're coming to see us this fall." And I said, "What's that?" She says, "Mom, it's your dad's last Bible. It's got a picture of me and my grad ceremony in the front cover. It's got a card in it that my dad put in on the first anniversary of my mom's passing. And all his handwriting and all his notes and all of these amazing things. And if I could, dollar to donut, have that moment with to talk again, boy, oh boy, I still have moments. It would be nice to have my mom walk me through a couple things. It would be nice to walk through life's issues to have them with. But we can rest in this. We have Jesus. May not look like your mom. May not sound like your mom. But he is exactly what each and every one of us would need at any given moment, in any situation, in our families, in our parenting, in our childhood, in our growing up into young adults, in our functioning within our own families, within our business, our communities, our jobs, our callings. Jesus should always have space in there. Because when he comes with you, he walks with you. And in the moment you feel the least amount of faith, the moment you feel like, "Oh, it's not worth it," the moment you feel like, "What now, God?" He's already been there. He's never changed his capacity. He's never changed his ability to be your provider. He's never changed his ability and his heart to serve you and to love on you and to give you hope and encourage you. He is always consistently Jesus. And I'm going to say, let's make sure we introduce Jesus as another goalpost in the boundaries we have in our lives when we're talking about honoring and respecting parents, relations, kids. Now, there'll be some, you know, "Oh, well, I'll respect them if they respect me first." I've never seen that work out that well. I've never seen that lined up in Scripture in that way. But when we choose to honor our Savior, when we choose by obedience to him to honor those in our circles, when we choose to step in that place that says, "I will value you We may not agree, but I will value you. Jesus does the work to foster, to birth, to revive, to renew, even to heal, so that honor and respect and love and care and concern will have opportunity to be a part of your relationship. This honor, it's God's design for the family. It's the first societal structure he built. There were families for sure by that point when it came down. But yet there was interesting mayhem happening on, wasn't there, in Israel in those days? Coming down from the mountain and they're doing stuff and they're not this and they're not that. And there were guidances in place for justice, for whatever. But when we choose to honor, when we ask Jesus to help us be a model of that honor, of that respect, we're actually placing ourselves under God's protection, under his covering for our lives. Years ago, I was taught about spiritual authority covering in a youth retreat convention. So the speaker I went to listen to, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. How do you deal with family issues? Because at that time in my life, I had mom who was a Christian and dad who was not a Christian, and I'm trying to figure this all out as a new Christian, and on and on. And their wise words of analogy were, well, if you want Jesus to cover you in all that you do, you shouldn't drive over the speed limit. Let's take that further. If we want Jesus to cover us, we shouldn't be messing with his commandments. We shouldn't be saying, how far can I push this? We shouldn't be letting anger get us to the point of we forget that maybe sometimes be still and know that I am God is the better answer than to say, and off to your room you go now before I. Sometimes the Jesus answer is far better than anything we will ever come up with. And in that moment, that space, that time where we're just apart enough from each other for a few moments, we can sit down and say, Jesus, I need your answer in this. I need your way of doing this. I need to hear your voice in my life for my situation right now. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of order. If there's anything we can see in this, we got mom, dad, kids, family structure. And then when they carry those premises over into their, well, I'm down at the marketplace and I'm a young person and I'm working, but the person's the same age as my dad, but I probably shouldn't mouth them off. There's wisdom in being wise for the structures in workplaces. There's wisdom for being wise and respectful and honoring in all the areas of our life that we are in together as a family of Christ. Because as fellow believers, the Bible says we are brothers and sisters. And some of us are wiser than others in some areas. Some are maybe not as wise as we'd like to be. Some of us are learning. Some of us are progressing, going through stuff for the first time in our life. And we count on and we pray with people who've been through it. So we have them to mentor us and walk us through these things. And that's how families grow, in honor and respect with each other. Now, when we were to hit those spots of when the honor doesn't happen, the common denominator for resolving dishonor in cases in the Old Testament came in the areas of when the child would disobey or curse the parent or strike at the parent or steal from the parent or neglect their parent. Do we see that any differently in some places in our society today? Do we have people who, I pray, are not, but if that's a scenario you're in at the moment, because it's just life. But it's not just life. I'm glad we are not living in the Old Testament times of judgment, because the penalty for those acts in the Old Testament was death. For an unrepentant person in a situation where there was to be honor and respect, and that person does not want to, chooses not to, they would be sentenced to death. We do not live in that type of a system, thank you, Jesus, at this moment, at this time. But I will suggest that each and every one of us in those situations can ask Jesus to help us put to death that which is keeping us separated. I may not fully understand someone's moment or issue, but I don't have to judge it based on what I think about it. I get to love and support and respect and honor and value and cherish based on who Christ is in me. And in that way, we become mentors. So we now get to do a bit of a leap. What does this fully look like for us today? We know we are to honor. We know what it's to look like. We know what it's to not look like. But today, our society, outside of maybe in here, but some of us probably have a sense of this, there's been fractures. There's been stuff that the enemy has just dumped in the way of, in the life of, in the moment of any of us at any given time that we just say, what? Why? This brings us back to, you shall have no other gods. You shall have no images. We get to watch our language. We get to make sure we're in right relationship with Jesus, because when we are, he will speak to us in those moments. And even if it is, be still and know. Even if it is, watch and see. Even if it is, let my word go forward. Even if it is, I need you to fast and pray. Even if it is, I need you to connect with others who have been through the same situation. We grow on this together, and we can take those places of fracture, of brokenness, and ask Jesus to redeem them for his glory and for his purposes in our life, so that we live before others because we are united in Christ. As we saw in our small video, there's a whole variety of scenarios where women are moms. There's a whole variety of scenarios where men are dads. There's a whole variety of scenarios where families are built as families. And we may not agree with all of them. And we need to pray that as Jesus is going to return, that he will renew us, revive us, give us a heart for those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who need to see Jesus. Because you know what? The ultimate answer is Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus. My relationship is awful. They cheated on me. It's Jesus in you that's going to heal you and let you be the example of what Jesus can be to that person. My kids don't want to come home. Pray for them. Ask God to touch them by the power of his Holy Spirit to bring upon them the conviction that he promises he will do. That's one of his jobs. But he also brings it on us. Maybe I shouldn't have been angry. Maybe I shouldn't have been abrupt. Maybe I shouldn't have, on that? Was that more of a human reaction than a divine inspired word from God? Because I dare say we're all going to be walking all of these paths in our lives at some point, whether it's with family or friends or jobs or whatever. We are having this challenge. Our command here is to do our very best to return to adhere to submit to the plan that God designed in honoring our family. He will give us that ability. He will give us that word. He will talk to us about those things that need to be in place. The enemy's plan has always been simple. If he can destroy the family, then the nation is up for grabs. We see in some cultures around our world, because we live in such a very together world with internet, but far enough apart for us to not fully realize it, there are many cultures where multi-generational living in a home is normal because they take care of elderly parents or elderly relatives. They stay in the same home. We see where the honor is such that the parents and grandparents are looked after first before kids and grandkids. We all have elements of how we respect family in our own lives. I would like to suggest that whatever fracture, and Nourish, I'm going to, in summary right now, we have something we're going to hand out to all the women, I think, and they can share with the men if they wish. We're going to summarize something, because no matter the situation of this moment, no matter the hurt of this moment, no matter the dishonor of this moment, no matter the disrespect of this moment, no matter the anger of this moment, no matter the emptiness of this moment, no matter what that is, this moment, right now, we have Jesus. This moment right now, I pray that the very heart of Jesus will be so prominent. Steve, would you do me a favor? Would you come down and grab a few things from Nourish? Stephen, could you grab a couple things from Nourish at the bottom of the stairs there, please? That way, please, yes. Thank you for the ladies upstairs, please. No matter what this moment is, no matter how you feel about this moment, how that's happening, we have a faith that in fact allows us to live with Jesus in this moment. And if we feel we haven't handled well up to this moment, and this is our opportunity to let Jesus transform us. Because refusing to be transformed, refusing to honor, refusing to care for, refusing to love because you've been so hurt, the end part of that command comes back to all of us. Because it's a command from God, and if we choose to disobey it, we offend our Lord. We live in a place then that we need to say, God, make sure I'm right here too. Make sure I'm walking in the steps you have me to walk in. Make sure I'm understanding where you have me at right now, because I want you to be with me in this. I want to know that I know that I know you in this. Because going forward, it's got to be Jesus' hand on it, not mine. Not on my watch you're doing that. Disrespectful child, go find your respect in the closet in your bedroom. Whatever that would sound like for your home. Jesus is bigger. I promise you, he is bigger than any of that. And he will take this very seriously. When we honestly lay it before him, when we are still and know, when we submit it to him, he can do far more with it. Don't look for loopholes. In the Jewish culture, there was a, because the families all stayed together and they took care of each other and all that, there apparently was a loophole in some tradition that if elderly parents were needing finances to be taken care of, that was fine because then, you know, I'll pay your rent, I'll buy your groceries, I'll do this and that. But there was a loophole that if this child, well, this money is dedicated to Jesus and Jesus will serve them. And the loophole became, oh, well, we'll put it in the church. or in my own bank account, where eventually it'll serve me even better. Don't look for loopholes. Don't look for ways out of. Let God do the work he has for you. In this moment, if you're feeling that this moment there's an inadequacy, a spot where it's just a little raw, hard, a challenge, and I'm going to suggest, how about if you put the face of the name of the person in front of you as we read this together? It's from a Facebook post I found. It's called, this site is called Sanctified-ish. It's based on Romans 12 and 6. The truth is, your gift was never, given without purpose. If God gave you the gift of encouragement, someone needs your words. If God gave you the gift of mercy, someone needs your compassion. If God gave you wisdom, someone needs your guidance. If God gave you the ability to teach, someone's needing that truth. If God gave you the gift of giving, someone needs your generosity. If God gave you faith, perhaps someone needs to be reminded to trust God again. Don't hold back what God has placed in you. When you sit in position with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have asked him to transform you, you have asked him to work in you, he has given you everything you need and will give you in the moment what is needed for him to do the best work for the situation, no matter what it is. Romans 12 and 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. These gifts are not just a blessing. We don't get to hold them under our little trees and say, ooh, look at all these gifts I have. They are a responsibility. They are to be used. They are to be implemented under the work of the Holy Spirit for the intention of restoring relationships to Jesus. Kinza, are we able to come back? I was jumping out of my skin when you started playing the Jesus Way, because it talks about the moments in our life that are really yucky. It talks about the reality of things that you just kind of, now what? How do I handle this? How do I handle when someone's malicious against me? How do I handle it when someone's so intentionally awful? How do I handle it when I just want to love them like Jesus did and they refuse it every time? How do I handle it when I have no more answers for the situation? I have no idea what God's going to do. May I encourage you that in that moment, our faithful Savior has more than enough for everything we need. He will provide, even miraculously, should we need it. He will provide. There will be a way, and it's the Jesus way. So let's stand. Let's let them lead us in this, and thank you.